WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with Nan and Cindy. Cindy's part of our Indiana group of people from my church, Cornerstone, that I pastored there so long ago. And Cindy, it's just a joy to have you a part of this radio team. And you came down to visit a couple years ago, or a year and a half ago, right, on a retreat and for a few days. And you ended up as part of the on the radio, didn't you?
Going into the second year now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been over a year.
Right.
A life-changing trip, I must say. My life has not been the same since I found peace. You know what? That was my last letting go of myself and giving it all to God. That was
wow.
My last step in doing that. And since I made that decision, I've been on the radio since, and my life
right.
has not been the same. It's been an upward climb with many, many blessings along the way. So,
praise
you know,
God.
A great example of when you let go and let God have his way and follow his path where he can take you.
Amen. Amen.
Blessings upon blessings.
Absolutely. You know, that's what God says to us. Learn to let go. And that's that song from Frozen, right? I still need to see that movie.
Yeah.
My grandson Levi's here with me this week, so maybe we'll see Frozen. But, you know, that song is pretty popular. You let go, just let go. You know, and that's what you're talking about. And it's interesting that the song I had planned for right now is You Never Let Go. And that's talking about God does not let go of us. He wants us to let go of the past. He wants us to let go of situations that have been painful, hurtful, that we need to forgive and let go of. But he never lets go of us. You're going to love this song by Matt Mayer.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I won't fear.
Storm.
Praise God. Woo! Amen. You never let go. Praise God. Woo! Amen. Love that song. Love that song. Reminds us he never lets go. Nan's got a poem. You want to share it?
Yes, it's entitled, I Am With You. I will never let go of you. I am always holding you. I see what you're facing, and I will help you make it through. Don't fear what you may face, for I am holding your hand. You will make it through trials, be sustained, and you'll stand. Trust upon me to hold you. I am here of your trials I see. Trust me with all of your heart. Of the difficulties you will be freed.
Praise God. Wow, that's a call to trust, isn't it? Ugh. Woo, Cindy, comment. Do you like that song, and how did that affect you?
Such peace.
Hmm.
Such peace. I just keep picturing it like a lifeline.
Right.
Like I'm out there in the ocean, and his hand is just reaching over the boat to save me and hold on to me.
Yeah.
Even if we're on our last hope, or our last breath even, if we just reach out and let him get a hold of our arm and save us.
Amen.
And hold on to us. Hold us up.
Yes.
I mean, if it's, just speak his name.
Right.
As simple as that. Just say his name. Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And he's right there.
He never lets go of us, no matter what's going on in our lives. And dear listener, whatever it is you're dealing with today, you may be dealing with marriage issues, financial issues, problems with some of your kids, addiction issues, whatever it is, it's not too big for God. And we say this a lot on Living the Good Life because through my years of ministry, I have heard this said so many times. God does not want us to bother him with our little issues. God knows what we need. Guys, that's the devil trying to keep you from presenting every need to God. That's the devil trying to tell you that God doesn't care about every issue. Cindy, talk to me about that, because I hear this from well-meaning people who say, oh, God doesn't want us to bother him with this or that. It's too insignificant.
Well, for the most part, people don't have that personal relationship.
That's it. Yeah.
With God, that they know that they can trust him and go to him with the small stuff.
Right.
Nothing, like you said, nothing is too big for him.
Yes.
In the same sense, nothing is too small.
Nothing is too
about
small.
Little things.
Yes.
That affect our daily lives.
Amen. Amen. Which takes me to verse 12 of Matthew 21. From that big Palm Saturday night crowd and parade and all that, Jesus goes straight to the temple in verse 12, and he throws out everyone that has set up shop, buying and selling. And he kicked over the tables. Now, he just comes off of the colt. He is riding into Jerusalem as a conqueror. And he goes straight to the temple to make a point here. He kicks over all the tables of loan sharks and the stalls of dove merchants, and he quotes this text. I don't think he said it quietly. He has gone in there like a barnstormer, Nan. He's gone in there. He's kicking over tables. He is yelling, and I think in a very loud voice, you know, without a microphone, kind of like I can do sometimes, he quotes this text, my house was designated a house of prayer. You have made it a hangout for thieves. Whoa. Again, he is quoting scripture that was prophesied that God's house is to be a house of prayer, which brings me to this point, Cindy. If God does not want to be bothered with our needs because they're too big or they're too little, then why would Jesus call his house the house of prayer? You see what I'm saying? And too many people are stuck in this lack of a relationship with God because they feel like he doesn't really care about them. They feel like he's mad at them. Maybe they've done a lot of stuff that they feel like can't be forgiven. And whatever reason, they don't realize that not only should the church of God be called a house of prayer, be a house of prayer, but we are the house. We are the house of prayer. And it says right here, my house is designated a house of prayer. If Jesus lives, I'm preaching here, girls, but I'll tell you what, this is what what needs to be said. If Jesus indeed lives on the inside of you, dear listener, if you have a relationship with Almighty God and you have invited Jesus into your heart and said, come and live in me, forgive me for my sins and sicknesses, forgive me for all of everything I've ever said or done that was not pleasing to you, come and live in me. If he does, you are the house of God. He lives in you. And it says right here, Jesus said, my house is to be a house of prayer. Nan, our house, which is us, inside of us, we are to be a house of prayer. God has ordained that. There is no need that is too big or too small for us to pray about it. Comment on that, and then I'm going to Cindy. And I'm off my little soapbox for a second. Okay.
I think what we need to be mindful of is what you guys have already been saying, is there's nothing too small, there's nothing too large.
Amen.
A house of prayer is a house of prayer.
Right.
Whether it's big or little.
Right.
And you know, sometimes I think, thought just came to me, sometimes, you know, if we bring small matters, requests, in prayer to him, I need help with this, or I need help with that. It helps build our faith.
It does.
And to be able to bring the bigger things. Sometimes
yeah.
You can't start with the gigantic, huge thing because
right.
You don't
have
faith
for it.
Right. You know, I mean, man's granted a certain amount of faith, and our faith increases as we exercise our faith.
Yes.
And that's a way of exercising, is bringing some, what maybe you might consider a small thing, but bring it to him and watch him move in that situation.
Oh,
and
amen.
Then you go, wow, cool.
Look what God did.
You know?
Yeah, Cindy, comment on that. Woo.
Yeah, and at the same time, and as it's continuous prayer, should be all throughout the day.
Amen.
Should also be giving prayer of thanksgiving.
Yes, yes.
For the small stuff.
Yes, yes.
And as we give our prayer of thanksgiving, he increases our blessings. And then our faith increases more. It's a cycle.
It is.
For getting faced up. It just
amen.
Grows.
Okay. In these three verses, 12, 13, and 14, we see three points here, and they all begin with the letter P. Okay? We see the first one in verse 12, Jesus is calling for purity. Okay? Pure hearts. Go to church for the right reason. Okay, don't go to show off your Sunday best. Don't go because it's expected of you. Go because you want to, with a pure heart. Purity is the first P. And he is saying here, look, hey guys, no, you're not buying and selling in church. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. You're coming to have a relationship with God Almighty. The first one is P. The second one is prayer. And that verse he quoted was Isaiah 56:7, that my house shall be a house of prayer. So first we get our hearts pure before God. God, I am sorry for all the attitudes I've had that are wrong. God, I'm sorry for doing this or that, or forgive me for what I said and what I did, whatever. We get pure. We go to God and we remember 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, this is the Christian's bar of soap. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, there's the purity, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then when we feel that we have confessed what we needed to confess, we go to him in prayer and say, God, here's what needs to happen. And now let's look at number three. It's found in the last part of verse 14. Now there was room for the blind and crippled to get in. Why couldn't they get in before? because of all the buying and selling, all the junk that was going on in the synagogue that was not supposed to be going on. There's so much gossip and pettiness in churches. And God wants to cleanse that out of churches, people. He wants us to be a people that are pure, that go to Him in prayer. And then look what happens. Now there was room for the blind and crippled to get in. They came to Jesus and He healed them. Power. Purity, prayer, power. Talk to me, Cindy, then we'll go to Nan. Purity, prayer, power.
I'm just overwhelmed.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
It's really good stuff.
Yeah.
And when you, when you just learn to trust God step by step by step, you just, it's like climbing a ladder. You just get higher and higher and higher.
Yeah.
In love. I mean, you know, you get more in love with Him.
Yes.
You want more and more of Him.
Yes, you do.
The more that you trust Him, the more you want.
That's right.
The blessings come and the intimacy.
Yes.
And the personal relationship that you can have with Him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the more of that, you're right, the more that you draw close to God. It's in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7. Draw close to me and I will draw close to you, God says. Draw close to God and He will draw close to you. So who needs to take the initiative? We do, because He has given each of us a free will, Nan. He does not cross our will. He will not make us shape up and become the pure people we need to be, the people of prayer, the people of power that we need to be. God, it puts that burden on us to realize we need to shape up and become everything He wants us to become.
Well, I think, you know, what you said about He won't step past our will, you and I have had discussions about that.
Yes, we have.
And He won't.
Yeah.
You know, He will not. He will not. He will not. And, you know, we are the one who, He's already... His son's already done the action. He gave his life.
Yes.
We just need to accept that and move forward.
Right.
And that's where the movement counts on our part.
Right.
He's there with us, and He will help us, and He'll hold our hand, and He'll be there, and He'll teach us and guide us. But we have to make the effort to go towards Him. He will. He's, as they used to say in church, He is a perfect gentleman. He will not push past our will.
He will not. And He expects each of us individually to come to a point where we realize our need to have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in our hearts. That's something that we decide. He doesn't make us receive Jesus. God is not in everyone. God is only in the people that accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Did you hear me, audience, on that? There is this thinking, it's a New Age concept, that God is in everyone. Everybody's got God, everybody's going to heaven. Well, that violates everything it says that Jesus said when He walked this earth. He said, I am, meaning Him, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Okay, He does not say all of you have God in you. No, He says the way to salvation is through Jesus, receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. Whoa, we got to do a song here. But Cindy, do you have a quick comment before we do this song? Love this next one.
Just that it's free.
It's free.
It's so easy. It's right there. It's so simple. Just a matter of asking.
Amen.
Right there, instantly.
Ask, and you shall receive. Everlasting God by Lincoln Brewster. This song has his little daughter on the end of it, and I just love it. Here we go.
Strength arises. We wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises. We wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Oh,
everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall and exhaust. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint.
Woo! I love that song. One of my favorites, Lincoln Brewster, Everlasting God. Nan, did God give you something during that song? I saw you typing away in there in the studio.
He did, Pastor. It's entitled, Praise Me, I Will Strengthen You. You will gain strength from me when you spend time waiting on me.
Mm-hmm.
You will receive all that you need, and of your doubt, you will be freed. I am the one who loves you so much and will always help you through all things. So look to me while praising me. Look to me, study my word, and sing. Sing out praise from your
Amen.
Heart. You will feel my presence there. I will strengthen you right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Look to me while you spend time in prayer.
Oh, good stuff. That's good. That's great. You know, audience, if you want any of Nan's poems, it's easy to get them. Just send me an email, pastor@bohmglobal.com. That's my email address. You can reach me directly, pastor@bohmglobal.com, and ask for the poems, and we'll send them to you. Cindy, that song, Strength Will Rise As We Wait Upon the Lord, and Nan's poem together, isn't this right on? We've got to wait on him no matter what's going on in our lives. We've got to spend time with him. It's that relationship thing we talk about all the time on Living the Good Life.
What I kept hearing from the song is everlasting.
Yes.
It's that peace of knowing that it's going to be forever.
Amen.
Our dependence on God.
Yes.
He is going to be with us from the foundation
mm-hmm.
of knowing that he was there before we were born. He knew our plan.
Right.
Before we were even created.
Yes.
And just the everlasting knowing that he cares about us.
Yeah.
And that he's always going to be there. Once you get a hold of that peace, and that knowing, it's just...
You know, you're exactly right. I mean, when we know that we are, you know, it's just like Nan, Cindy, and I are all mothers, and Cindy and I are grandmothers, not Nan yet, but, you know, when we know that we are always going to be a grandma, we're always going to be a mom, you know, those are always going to be our kids, you know? And guys, we can translate that to our relationship with God. We can know that we always will have God the Father, and we will always have Jesus living on the inside of us if we ask him to come in and live on the inside of us. And we'll always have the Holy Spirit guiding us, leading us. Those are always things. And in life, we don't have a lot of always things. Relationships come and go. Friendships come and go. Church situations come and go. Jobs come and go. But being a mother and a grandmother, that's once you're there, you are. I heard someone say the other day, in fact, it was my daughter-in-law who works part-time for a agency, Cindy, in Fort Wayne, Candy does, and to help young people decide to keep their babies and not abort and whatever. And she said one of the points that the counselor was making to this young girl was, even if you decide to abort this child, you will always be a mother. You have conceived. You will always be a mother, right? Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was an interesting thing. God is always going to be our Father. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. That's what he says in his word over and over again. Most frequent promise in the word of God is, I will never leave you or forsake you. He says it in one form or another 365 times, according to Kenneth Copeland and some others that have counted it. I will never leave you, forsake you, or I am with you always. That type of concept is there all through the Word of God. Talk to me about that, Nan, then let's get back to Cindy. He's always there. He's the everlasting God. I love that, Cindy, that you brought up that word, everlasting God. Woo!
It was just so cool to have him there, and you said 365 because that's,
yeah,
for, like, in a sense, one for every day.
Sure.
I mean, one every day.
Right.
One every day, you know? And it's cool to know that he's always there, that he will not leave us. You know, and I can look back. Remember my Jonah days, Pastor?
I do remember your Jonah days, Nan. Those were so much fun for Connie and I.
Oh, you and Connie had
We had a lot of fun with you.
And what
that's
all about.
Think you better explain that.
Yeah, let me explain that. I kind of was in a wayward state and had kind of
running from God.
Running from God. And the thing of it was, every time I ran, he was everywhere. So he was where I was running. So it was pointless.
Yes.
I kept running and it was pointless.
Right.
And then finally one day I was like, oh, well, he's always there everywhere when I run. I'm tired of running.
Right.
I reached a point I was tired of running. That was, you know, sometimes people might say being a Christian is difficult. It's challenging. It's this. Well, you know what? Facing issues in life without having God's direction and guidance and support and help is so much worse than, I mean, it's just it's so bad. I mean, to deal with issues without having that direction and that, you know, so it's like, don't run from him. Don't be a Jonah. Just
run to him.
You're supposed to him. Absolutely.
Run to him. Cindy, comment on that. Nan, we're so glad Nan is no longer Jonah, but now she's faithed up to overflowing.
And Nan's glad she's not Jonah now.
Okay. Cindy, what do you think about all that?
Yes, absolutely. Run to him with that junk.
Amen.
You know, when you hang on to that stuff, you can't sleep at night.
Right.
You're tired. You're physically beat down. You're mentally stressed out. It's crazy to put yourself through that.
Right.
But we do.
Right.
We take on so much stress. But if we could just get in the understanding inside of us that we don't have to.
Right.
We can choose not to.
Right.
As easily as we can choose to hang on to it.
Amen. It is a choice. It is, you know, and so often we think, oh, my circumstances are terrible. Choose God in the midst of your circumstances. Talk to him, seek him, read his Bible, read the word, and get some good sound teaching, you know, and realize that God does care about every detail that you're going through, every single one. Now, let's look at this fig tree. In Matthew 21:18, early the next morning after the big temple thing, after the parade, the temple, Jesus was returning to the city. He was hungry. He saw a lone fig tree alongside the road. He approached it, anticipating a breakfast of figs. It's not a McDonald's breakfast. It's a breakfast of figs. Fig Newtons, maybe. I don't know. When he got to the tree, there was nothing but fig leaves. He said, no more figs from this tree ever. Now, what he's doing here is showing us the power of our words. Okay? The fig tree withered on the spot, a dry stick. The disciples saw it happen. Some of them, like Matthew right here, wrote it down what happened in their journal that day. Jesus said, wait a minute. No, there's not going to be any more figs from you because you didn't have any now. They rubbed their eyes saying, did we really see this? A leafy tree one minute, a dry stick the next. Verse 21 of Matthew 21. Jesus was matter of fact. He said, yes. And if, now this is our choice right here. If you embrace this kingdom life and don't doubt God, you'll not only do minor feats like I did to the fig tree, but you'll also triumph over huge obstacles. This mountain, for instance, you'll say, go jump in the lake and it'll jump. Absolutely everything ranging from, this is a point we've been making in the second hour of this show, absolutely everything ranging from small to large as you make it a part of your believing prayer gets included as you lay hold of God. Whoa, this is too cool. And if you write in your Bible, write Mark 11, 22 to 25, because that whole area there in Mark explains this again. This fig tree was not producing figs, and Jesus used this as an example to do a miracle and show the disciples the power of belief and the power of our tongues, our words. Talk to me, Cindy, and then we'll go to Nan.
Yeah, it just shows how the power of our words can kill.
Yes.
Can kill a dream, can kill an idea, can kill a spirit.
Right.
You know, we don't know how powerful our tongue is to, and how hurtful to others.
Right. And so often, you know, the things we say, we've done shows on this, but the things that we say really get us in trouble. You know, if we're going to sit around talking negativity, if we're going to sit around saying, man, God, I don't know where God is. He's not answering my prayers. He must be someplace else. Maybe he's in France. Don't know where he is. But, I mean, when we get that kind of a mindset that we are so down, so to speak, on God, that we just don't believe that he is working in our behalf, what we get, what we say is what we get. Nan, talk to us about this.
Our words are powerful.
Right.
I was reflecting back, you know, when I was raising my son, Bradley, and I was all the time telling him how cute he was, how smart he was, and I always tried to give
him... He is cute, and he is smart.
Yeah, I know, and he's done quite well for himself.
Yes, he has.
He really has. But, you know, I fortunately was raised in a home where there wasn't that negativity spoken
right.
to me.
Right.
Some people, unfortunately,
yes,
have been in that situation.
Right.
I wasn't, thank God. But I was able, you know, but I would bestow upon my son. I would speak to
bestow,
my
queen.
I'm sounding King James Version there.
Yes, you are.
but I would speak positives, you know.
Yes.
And you know, you could take children and you can tell them negative things about themselves. And because they're very impressionable in
right.
with age and having not experienced much yet in life, and they're gonna believe what you say.
That's right.
You know, and you can take two children and one always tell them positive and one always tell them negative, and they're gonna grow up
right.
And the one who's spoken to negatively can come out of it
right
with God's help
right.
You know, and guidance and love. You know. But our words, I mean, are powerful. And my son believed that he could accomplish things because I told him
right.
he could accomplish things.
Exactly.
And he's very accomplished right now. He's 25 and he's doing, has an excellent, excellent job
right.
and everything. He's doing good. And quite honestly, part of that may be because of the words I spoke to him as he was growing up.
You know, exactly. And last week we mentioned this verse, and it's Jesus said to the blind man, become what you believe. Okay, become what you believe. You believe that you can move mountains in prayer. That's what Jesus is saying here. Then do it. Pray. You know, speak those words. Mm-hmm. Do it. Cindy, talk to us about this before we get to our next song.
Well, as Nan was speaking about her son and the words that she spoke to him to encourage and uplift him, you know, on the opposite end of the spectrum, for example, myself growing up, I did not have the love and encouragement and coaching and guidance and acceptance. And I had a very negative upbringing
right,
as
right.
far as cruelty and cruel
yes,
words.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, in spite of all of that, God was always there to give me just a little mustard seed of faith
right.
to hang on to some kind of hope.
That's right.
Even though I did not receive that from the outside world, something inside of me, which was God all along,
right,
was assuring me that everything was going to be okay.
Right. So something was going on the inside of you, and it was God speaking to you. This takes me back to the point I mentioned earlier that I wanted to talk about in this hour. Our internal frame of reference versus our external one. On the external side, Cindy, you had a rough childhood. But on the inside, you knew that God loved you and that he had a plan for your life, right? And,
yes,
and
I had to keep saying that.
Right.
I'm going through this, but God is saving me, and
yes.
He's going to see me through it because he has something planned for me.
And you kept your focus on that. That doesn't mean that you perfectly did it, but it means overall you had a knowledge of an internal frame of reference. I want to relate this to Jesus. Jesus knew that he was going to the cross. Did he want to? Well, he wanted to fulfill the will of his Father. Did he want to suffer? He knew he was going to have to suffer. The night in Garden of Gethsemane, he was sweating real blood. He knew this was going to be horrendous, what he was going to go through. But he had an internal frame of reference that said, you're going to fulfill the Father's will. You're going to do this, and you're going to do it with dignity, with grace. He probably hung naked on that cross. Okay. Yet he had an internal frame of reference that said, I'm going to fulfill the will of my Father. I am not going to cower out at the last moment. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to do what God, the Father, wants me to do. Our external frame of reference is when we keep our eyes on everything around us. Oh, this pain. Oh, this hurts. Or, oh, I'm just not this. I'm not that. I can't do this. I can't do that. When we major on the externals, what we see, what we feel, what we think about that's not the Word of God, we are going to go down a bad path. But when we keep our insides lined up with the Word of God, goes back to the point we made earlier in the show, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, who for the joy that was set before him endured the shame. So for the joy that was set before him, that was his internal frame of reference, Nan, Cindy. He concentrated on the joy that it was going to be able to save us, to give us, offer us salvation because he would become the Passover lamb. He concentrated. I love this stuff. This is good. He concentrated on that truth, the joy that was set before him, not the shame. He ignored the shame. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the shame. He endured the shame because he had a mission. He's our wonderful, merciful Savior. We'll talk to Nan and Cindy Moore on the other side of this wonderful song. Let this bless you. Draw close to God right now as you hear this song. Let it minister to you.
You are
Praise God. Praise God. Love that song by the group Selah. Wow. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Nan, do you have a poem?
Yes. I am your wonderful, merciful Savior. I am always here for you, special one. I gave my life to set you free. I have done what needed to be done. I will always comfort you on your travels. I will carry you when you feel down. I am always here, your wonderful Savior. I am always with you. I am always with you. I am around. I will continue to sustain you in your journey. I am the one who can always you can always rely upon. I will carry you throughout your tough times. So lean upon me. I am the Father's precious Son. And it's interesting, all throughout that, it was like, I am.
Woo, good stuff. Wow. Cindy, talk to us. Wow. Good stuff.
And faithfulness.
Yeah.
That the faithfulness.
Yeah.
That's everlasting.
Amen.
It's just a foundation of knowing.
Yes.
You will never fall to where he won't pick you up.
Amen.
He will always catch you.
Yes.
Even when we fail, he will pick us up and put us back on that right path if we let him.
Because he's our wonderful, merciful Savior. You know, that song just always speaks to my heart so much. Nan, I'm going to ask you to read that poem one more time because I think it really says a tremendous amount of stuff that the audience needs to hear one more time, what you felt as you were writing that God gave you.
I am your wonderful, merciful Savior. I am always here for you, special one. I gave my very life to set you free. I have done what needed to be done. I will always comfort you on your travels. I will carry you when you feel down. I am always here, your wonderful Savior. I am always with you. I'm around. Mm-hmm. I will continue to sustain you in your journey. I am the one who you can always rely upon. I will carry you throughout your tough times, so lean upon me. I am the Father's precious Son.
Oh, praise God. You know, we're right here a week before we celebrate Resurrection Day. And, you know, Jesus knew going into this week what he was going to suffer. He's actually died on Wednesday afternoon. We have said Friday forever, but it's not right. He did die on Wednesday afternoon, and he came out of the tomb late Saturday night, right after 6 p.m. We'll talk more about that next Sunday and give you that time frame. But, you know, Jesus was a few days from going to the cross when they celebrated him that Saturday night, and with crowds singing Hosanna, yet their hearts were not right toward him. And, you know, a few days later, they cried, crucify him. And, of course, that is what happened. But it fulfilled the plan of the Father. The Passover lamb, Jesus, was to die on a cross, had to happen so that we could be saved and we could know eternal life. And so we would have a relationship with Almighty God, the God who created everything, the God who created the universe, the God who lives on the inside of us if we've asked Jesus into our hearts. That wonderful Almighty God sent his Son Jesus to this earth. I'm reminded of John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear one, it's about believing in Jesus as the Son of God, believing that he came to this earth, that he had a purpose, that he fulfilled the purpose and plans of the Father to the letter, to the T. And he did it willingly on that cross. He willingly gave up his spirit. And then he rose again from the dead 3 days and three nights later, a risen Lord, and he forever lives it now in heaven. And what a blessed hope this is for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, endured the shame. He did that for us. Cindy, comment, will you? We're winding down on our time, guys.
So about that done. We don't have to endure it, and that's it.
That's
we
right.
We don't have to.
Right.
Why do we hang on to that stuff?
Right.
Just trust him.
Right.
To let go of it and see what happens.
Oh, amen. Just trust God with all of the stuff in our lives. Listeners, that's what Cindy just said to you, and that's what you have to do. You got to come to a point you realize your need for God. You realize your need for a relationship with him. That all of this that we've been talking about in these 2 hours today becomes reality to you. That you realize that you don't want to go another day without having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that is your decision right now, Cindy, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. We're going to pray the sinner's prayer. Any of you around the globe that are not sure right now that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity. If you're not sure that that's a commitment that you've ever really made, now, this moment in time is your opportune moment. So repeat with Cindy after me and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Dear God, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear God, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that God the Father sent Jesus.
I believe that God the Father sent Jesus
to this earth to die on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
To this earth to die on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
And I believe right now that I can ask him.
And I believe right now that I can ask him.
To forgive me for anything and everything.
To forgive me for anything and everything.
That I have ever said or done.
That I have ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to him.
That was not pleasing to him.
I invite you, Jesus.
I invite you, Jesus.
To come live on the inside of me.
To come live on the inside of me.
I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior.
I begin this new life right now with you.
I begin this new life right now with you.
This I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, please feel free to send me an email, pastor@bohmglobal.com, or send to our prayer line, prayers@bohmglobal.com. You can send your prayer requests there. You can send comments about the shows. You can say, hey, I accepted Jesus on this show. Great. prayers@bohmglobal.com or my personal email, pastor@bohmglobal.com. And we want to hear from you. If you did pray that prayer, we invite you to get into the book of John and begin to read. That's the best place to start. There's like 21 chapters there, and it's an amazing book. Nan, you have some comments here, and then we'll go to Cindy. And what a powerful show, and what a real, real opportunity for people to invite Jesus today and realize what Easter, what Resurrection Day is all about. It is all about receiving the risen Lord into their lives.
What I like to say is that don't be afraid of giving up what you think that you're having to give up. Because what happens is we become known within ourselves the identity of what we do or while we behave. I used to have a very serious anger issue, very serious anger issue. And I was able to control things with that anger. It was interesting what I could control with that anger. I didn't want to give it up because I didn't know what life was going to be out without the ability, you know, without moving forward with that kind of anger. I didn't know what it was going to be like. Well, it turns out that it's really nice.
Right.
You know, so
not to have it.
Not to have it. So they need to, whatever they need to submit, you know, turn away from, give to God, do it. Because
right.
life on the other side of it really is pretty cool.
Yes, it is. Amen and amen. Cindy, talk to us, some comments.
Yes, there is nothing like the peace of mind that you can have when you let God deal with that junk and turn it loose and just sit back and enjoy the peace when you don't have that turmoil and that chaos going on.
Exactly, yes. It changes everything. It changes your perspective. I want to remind everybody those three things that happened right after Jesus got done with that Palm Sunday parade that happened, which was really on Saturday night. He went straight into the temple the next morning and he cleansed the temple. He said, you know, I'm not going to have all this stuff going on here that doesn't belong here, because my house is a house of prayer. And we made the point that you are the house of God if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you also can be that place of prayer, that house of prayer. So Jesus, he really emphasized purity, then prayer. And then it says, because he cleansed the temple and so many scoundrels left town and got out of there, there was room for all those that needed healing. And they came in and Jesus healed them. So you've got purity, prayer, and power. And that's what it's all about, dear ones. I want to leave you with that point today because that is so important. Also, concentrate on your internal frame of reference, the promises that God has given you, and realize that Jesus did the same thing. Who for the joy, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the shame. He knew what he was going to accomplish on that cross, and so he could endure the punishment and the shame. Nan, a quick final word, and then Cindy, and then we'll get out of here in just a minute.
Just turn it over to God. Just turn it over to God. It's worth the way life turns out.
Amen. Cindy, talk to us.
Keep your eye on the prize.
Oh, there you go.
You just got to remember what you're working towards, what your focus is.
That's right. Yes.
And think about the outcome.
Amen.
At the end of it.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. Keep your eye on that. Keep fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's it. At this resurrection season, that's what it's all about. Thank you, Nan. Thank you, Cindy, for being a part today. As always, we appreciate you. And God bless both of you. As we conclude this show today, I want to remind you that every Saturday and Sunday on our wonderful sister network, StarComRadioNetwork.com, at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can catch this show that would just aired live here in Tampa Bay. It will be on again Saturday and Sunday this weekend, StarComRadioNetwork.com, 10 a.m. Eastern, the full two-hour show. And at 12 noon on StarComRadioNetwork.com, we'll air our Thursday night show, Go Yard, with me and with Dr. Angel Falzoni. And that's our life coaching counseling show, which airs here on 1340 AM and Tantalk1340.com every Thursday night at 6:06 PM Eastern. So catch both of our shows, and next week we'll tell you more, or soon we'll tell you more about our new Spanish show. So God is blessing. And so just as a reminder, it's not far to Jesus. And we welcome you to join us again next week at this time for Living the Good Life. God bless you. It's been Pastor Marcia, Nan, and Cindy sharing the Word of God with you today. God bless you, and hope you'll tune in again next week. Have a great week. It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no far. It's
in your eyes.